porque es lo mismo en inglés. Ah, esos fueron unos días tan...
Ay, es que uno como que le da miedo.
¿Verdad? Pero es cierto que decidimos que tenemos que olvidar el miedo y no, empezar sí. a hablar, porque sin esto, si siempre tenemos miedo, no vamos a hacer nada. Okay. Sí. Y tú en el inglés tienes que perder el miedo.
Bueno, a mí me lo hablas inglés bastante, ¿verdad? Yo lo entiendo, entonces para que me da un miedo hablar que nunca ha sido hablar.
Entiendo cómo es.
Necesitas estar donde no puedas usar el español.
Sí. Exacto.
Que la necesidad me haga. Es verdad, porque por la necesidad que...
Para comer, hablar en inglés.
Sí. Entonces, tú puedes pensar en inglés también, ¿verdad? Pero para expresarte, la lengua se enreda.
Sí.
Yo sé cómo
es. Bien difícil.
Yo he sentido tantas vergüenzas. Un día estaba enseñando en la escuela. Y tuvimos un cuentito de un muchacho volando una chiringa. Y para introducirlo, para que ellos me sigan, este fue en inglés. Y yo dije, y había un foto de esto. Y digo, ustedes ven, es un muchacho que está volando una chinga. Todo el mundo se rió.
Sí, pero eso es común.
Pues es lo que digo, uno no puede sentir una vergüenza porque no ayuda nada.
Al principio me da vergüenza, pero después que la hermosa...
Es bueno, hay bastantes veces que he hecho cosas así. Pero los estudiantes aquí fueron lo más bueno. Por ejemplo, como yo dije, cuando llegamos a Puerto Rico, hicimos errores, los puertorriqueños, rieron con nosotros, sí. Pero no de nosotros.
Sí,
sí,
sí. Sí. Sí.
Gracias.
Hey, mira que bien ella dijo, es en inglés. Gracias. Un día de esto ella va a olvidar que está hablando inglés y decir algo en inglés. ¿Verdad?
Su mamá les habla en inglés en la casa, mucho. Sí, yo. Mi hijo nació aquí y en nuestra casa a veces le hablamos en español también. Tenemos un estudiante de España que vive con nosotros. Y poco a poco él va entendiendo, sí. No habla mucho todavía, pero...
Así es bueno, porque él enseña inglés al de España si no lo sabe, y el de España enseña
sí. Exacto, sí. Es otra cosa. Los estudiantes me enseñaron tantas cosas, unas cosas no tan buenas tampoco. Especialmente los muchachos.
Sí. ¿Y usted va a dar clase aquí en Castellón?
En Castañer y en Bartolo.
Ajá.
Que fue bien interesante. En la high. Sí.
Ay, a mí me gusta aquí porque Ponce me gusta, pero aquí uno viene y es como que una paz espiritual. Y después, como Ponce es tan cabroso y aquí es tan bueno, y las personas.
Sí. La gente son como una de las familias casi. Ajá. Aquí, pero en el pueblo grande, la gente no conoce al vecino casi.
Sí, y aquí se conoce todo el mundo, y todo el mundo se ayuda. Que en la ciudad, pues, se ayuda, pero no tanto, y casi no se ve ni nada.
Exacto. Y, por ejemplo, en esta comunidad tenemos PNP, PDP y independentistas. Todos somos como una familia. No pensamos en, él es PNP, él es PDP, ni nada. Somos simplemente una familia. Y en el pueblo también hay rencores.
Sí, por eso. A veces los vecinos ni se hablan por eso, por el partido que sea.
Exacto. Los pero vecinos. Aquí son, mira, ese perdón al frente de nosotros. Es independentista, pero eso no hay mejor persona en el mundo que él. Y por eso yo nunca dejo a ideales políticos. Influenciar lo que pienso.
Sí. De personas, sí. Bueno, yo no estoy de acuerdo con mi suegro, ni mi suegra, ni con muchos de mis parientes en cuestiones de política, pero hablamos.
Son una familia, ¿eh?
Somos una familia.
Tenemos un PNP aquí más abajo, lo mismo, y PNP arriba. Ni pensamos en esto.
Yo no sé, pregúntame.
Pregúntame en inglés. O en español. O en ruso. Pero yo no entendería entonces. ¿Qué es lo que tú quisiste saber?
Me preguntó que qué partido era.
Yo soy más o menos apolítico. Porque cuando la gente llega allá, en la oficina, todos son lo mismo. Pueden ser buena gente cuando son pequeños. Pez es pequeño, pero cuando llegan a ser un pez grande, come a cualquiera. Por eso, yo creo que fue como soy del estado de Oregon y yo siempre considero este mi hogar y estoy leal a esto completo, pero en este sentido soy independentista porque yo creo, yo quiero ese área más que ningún otro, pero todavía yo creo que debemos cooperar con otros, pero entonces PNP, yo veo muchas cosas malas en esto, pero para mí, olvidando la política, yo creo que esta edad sería mejor para Puerto Rico que otro, porque los políticos, si no tienen alguien para controlarlos aquí, van a dominar, llegar a ser dictadores. Esa es la única razón. Estado libre sería bueno, pero mira las Filipinas. Enseguida, 4 años después que eligieron a este hombre, llegó a ser dictador. Y eso es lo que me da miedo, porque yo puedo salir, pero con casi 50 años aquí, todos mis amigos están aquí. Y aunque yo pudiera salir, entonces si este se convierte en una dictadura, todos mis amigos estarían aquí. Esa es la única cosa. No soy políticamente PNP, pero creo que la estadidad sería mejor para Puerto Rico.
Es algo que se debate en las escuelas hoy, ahora, ¿no? Con el plebiscito y la posibilidad del plebiscito aquí, o no tanto, ¿no? Que
no.
Entre los jóvenes no tanto.
No, es mayormente los adultos, que se pasan leyendo el periódico y las noticias. No, pero que estoy peleando por eso, porque unos quieren esta edad, otros Estado Libre y otros la independencia.
Por mi parte,
en mi casa quieren la estadidad.
Por mi parte, no quiero expresarme a favor o en contra de nada, porque yo no sé. Puede causar rencores, sí. ¿Y por qué tenemos esto? Pero yo creo en la estadidad, no porque soy de los estados, pero yo creo que la gente quedaría más seguro en esto que... Yo siempre he sido un no conformista por eso.
Creo que de cierta manera es difícil no ser ni una cosa ni la otra cosa, ni independiente ni Estado, no sé, pero yo tampoco tengo opiniones realmente fuertes.
Yo creo que si viviríamos como Dios quiere, no necesitaríamos políticas, PNP, PDP ni nada, seríamos un grupo de gente considerando uno al otro, sí, pero no somos así. Sí. Por eso yo no soy político en sí. ¿Terminaste?
Gracias.
¿Tú votaste tú?
soy yo.
No le vaya. Estás muy bella, Nina. Tanto que hablas, si ustedes la vieran.
Come on, talk a little bit with us.
Familia, eh?
Talk a little bit to us. We want to hear if you can talk or not. That's a beautiful smile you have. Sure it is.
Gracias.
Say gracias in English. That, you know how you say it in English? Don crescendo. Hey, that isn't English. ¿Sabe lo que es? Alemán. Don crescendo. That, esto quiere decir beautiful thanks. Next time you come up here, you're going to talk in English to me, aren't you, huh? We're not going to ask you to now, because...
Too many people around.
Too many people, yeah. But... Pero queremos a esa pichoncita igual a si ella hablaba todo en inglés conmigo. Tú eres pichoncita, ¿verdad?
¿Qué es pichoncita?
Huh?
¿Qué quiere decir pichoncita?
I think that's a little bird, isn't it? I was hoping I said that right.
Pájaro.
Pájaro pequeño.
¿Y ustedes van a la playa durante el verano mucho?
Sí. Vamos a la playa, a los hoteles de San Juan. A la piscina.
No, I was going to say, you have a playa there pretty nice, don't you, close to Ponce? But they don't have El Tuque open.
En Ponce no, en
Salinas.
En Guanica.
Guanica.
Y en Salinas está el albergue, pero ese es como un complejo... Ay, se me fue la palabra. Eso es lo que hay, son piscinas y eso, que no hay playa. Complejo acuático.
En playa hay en
Jolireño y
piscina.
No, en Jolireño no hay playa. Se ve la playa, el mar así, pero para no bañarse no es muy agradable. Hay gente que va al Tuque por allí, pero que...
Pero hay agua viva.
Eso es lo que dicen, es que...
En Guánica, que está Playa Santa, es bueno, y también vamos a Combate, que en Cabo Rojo, Playa Santa.
Sí, y en Salinas hay un sitio bastante bueno, ¿no? No, Salinas, déjame ver. Salinas está al este de Ponce, pero hay una área que se llama Salinas entre Guánica y Ponce, ¿no? Fuimos allá una gente dijeron que ese era Salinas. Yo no sé.
Entre Guánica y Ponce, ¿no? Que le dijeron que era Salinas. No.
Where is that place you went? Salinas out toward the Atlantic. Remember there was a Salinas Bay? You know where it was so beautiful?
Pero Boquerón no queda muy lejos de Ponce. O sí, una hora o un poco
de...
Había una que se llamaba la Playa Salinas o algo
así. Ah, sí. Sí, se recuerda.
Cuidan las flores también, por eso hay tantas flores.
Do you need his help?
Looks like he's resting now.
Yeah, todo el mundo con la lengua fuera.
I'm trying to remember what we were talking about.
I was trying
to... You found the name of the governor?
Tugwell,
yeah. Was a governor... who made contact with
the Roomba unit.
Roomba, who
I mean, with
that time
Martin
governor,
G. Roomba.
Governor of Pennsylvania.
Andrew Cordier was at that time the Secretary General of the United Nations, and he was a brother also. So he got...
So that way they had good connections.
Into the whole... connections of service and so forth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, the idea that really the brethren were filling a gap here because that was brought up about in large part because of the war.
That's right.
And that the first group that was that came here was actually planning to go to China, but because of the war they couldn't go there. But and
it was known as the
China unit.
China unit, which was more or less working with the ambulance services at that time too, on the Burma Road.
And I think you were saying that really Castanier had the first rural high school, the first rural hospital, and the first rural post office.
That's right.
Because of
really the unit here.
The unit that was here.
Yeah, the Church of the Brethren. One thing about it, the Church of the Brethren came to a service group instead of to implant a church. Uh-huh. And the church developed after the service group was here. Mm-hmm. Almost as a natural outcome, because the people saw what the people that were members of the Church of the Brethren were doing, and they got interested, and they wanted to share, and so they started a small group worshiping together, and from that started then the first
and
Church
then,
of the Brethren.
And then the Elgin office did not want to accept it when they applied for becoming a Church of the Brethren down here, because they said we didn't go down for that.
To plant the church, we gave to, we went to give service. But it shows that when you your life speaks louder than your words.
Yeah, that's true. And it's also interesting then too that probably the first real church in what is Castañer Poblado was the Brethren Church, I suppose, not the Catholic Church.
No, the Catholic Church. Yeah, the Catholic Church was the first.
They had the Catholic, they had the
Pentecostal.
They had Pentecostal before too.
But the one that was real strong at that time was the Episcopal. Episcopal had a good stronghold here.
And the Baptist had a church.
And the Baptist. Okay. No, the Baptist
I didn't say it was strong, but I say they had a church.
Okay.
But the stronghold was the Episcopal.
Episcopal church was.
Some people told me that what was the church, the first Catholic church, was really more services that were held in the hacienda and the house. They're really, like Bartolo had a church, I think.
That's right, they had a
little
church.
But there really was no.
Well, they had they had a little church.
A little church.
They had a little church up on a hill, but it was a very small.
Very small church. And then later on they bought where it is there and built a church.
So the Brethren Church was not the first. They came for service and there was a Catholic and the
Pentecostal
and Episcopal and then.
Exactly. They were not supposed to start a church.
That's what our church said up there. There's no sense in starting another church.
There's more churches there.
Yeah.
But see, the doctor, one of our doctors out there, that was a Brethren, and went back to the General Assembly. Our church had the custom of having a General Assembly yearly, where all the churches of every place get together and they send delegates, and those delegates are the ones that make the rulings for the whole church. And then the board carries over and do the what is commanded, what is decided. Well, the from here, Dr. Bird went and presented himself as a delegate from the Church of the Brethren Castanier and brought greetings. So they said, Church of the Brethren Castanier, you don't have anything? What are you talking about? So it got everyone. So they applauded him, and because the ones that they were leaders didn't even know what was going on.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting.
Oh, and the people here at that time were very hospitable. We boys used to ride bicycles all over the island. One time we got up here in the mountains and it began raining real hard, so we dashed into a little store, and the store was jammed with people, but we squeezed in yet. And just a little bit later, there's three of us, there come three cups of coffee out on the counter, and they told us to drink, and we said no, we didn't want to. We didn't feel like we should be butting in and look at all these people who aren't having. That's okay. It was just about Christmas time. That's okay. You're far away from home, and we want you to feel like you're part of our family at Christmas time. Yeah. And that was just a stranger. We'd never seen him before.
Yeah. There's different anecdotes of how the brethren won reputation as medical doctors and so forth. And one of them is, after all, you don't go to one doctor you have never heard of or anything. You usually try to find out from somebody else. So when they got started, they didn't have much business. And one of the fighting cocks
of
one of the men, you know, those fighting cocks are expensive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got sick and got too many grains of corn on the
in his craw.
So
he became craw bound.
He was going to die. Mm-hmm. So he took, somebody said, why don't you take him to the hospital? So they took the rooster to the hospital. And the doctor saw the rooster, open up the craw, clean it all up, and sewed it up again, and the rooster lived. So after that, everybody knew that Dr. Parker was a very good doctor. So that's the little anecdotes that happened. But it shows there that you got to win the respect of the people, and not just saying take it for granted because you are good that they are going to come to you. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I think the development of Castañer that has been very well respected in the circles of the government, and it's the cooperative movement.
Yeah.
Castañer was one of the first areas in Puerto Rico that started the cooperative movement. They started the agricultural co-op, they started the credit co-op, they started the
consumer co-op,
and they started, the last one that was started was the health co-op. Yeah. And in all the co-ops, there was involvement of the community. Right. So when there for a while, that many countries of the third world were coming to see the progress of Puerto Rico and what could be copied of the Puerto Rican progress, especially involving the people and not just the government giving everything. And many of them were sent to Castañer to observe the co-op movement and all how the community worked, because there was always local groups working to better the community.
Why do you think Castañer was a center for cooperativism?
They had already started studying co-ops in Puerto Rico, and they had established some, but it took hold here.
It took hold here because here I think if there was two things that helped take hold. One is that there was enough poverty, but the people are bright and intelligent, and they knew they could see a way there of succeeding without any capital. Another thing is that I think they had already the influence, not that I want to say that, but in the community development, the Church of the Brethren had a big influence in getting the people to be entrepreneurs. In fact, they started the needlework group, and they started farming groups, all those arts and crafts, and all of that, the people would venture into it and try to get ahead on it. Mm-hmm. So here was a group that were ready and willing to accept movements like that, co-op movement. And I think that besides, when the press started, if the housing was built in this of cooperative efforts. So one thing after another, it was just the right place.
Several things came together.
Exactly.
The brethren, all cooperative movements.
Exactly.
The brethren group was really a cooperative group too, working together.
Exactly.
Not only that, but another thing that helped the community feel this cooperation is there was no central place for anybody to meet or anything, and so the hospital became the center of the whole interest of this whole area. And then when the hospital reactivated the community hall, it was hospital workers who directed that. Why, it brought that, and the community learned that we're grouped together. We had some of the most important people from outside the country, as Elsa said, and from Puerto Rico would come and visit us all the time. And it made this group feel like we are important. And they kept on growing, and they cooperated because they knew we were a group.
Also, I'm wondering, this Castañeda is not a municipio. It doesn't have a mayor.
No.
So maybe the junta, the idea of the community, was more important than the mayor or the
political party. Because, for example, you find here in Castañeda, we have people from las juntas, we have people from Lares, we have people from Maricao, we have people from Yauco, and a little point from Las Marias. So it was all people that would have to come together here for services that were not just handed out, but because it got developed and it's something that was involved. And then another thing that I remember right from the beginning, the Church of the Brother, the hospital, through the church, through the hospital, got the people, the local people, involved in things. For example, they made the what they call a community, a Castañer community organization. They hoped at that time that Castañer community organization would be the one that would take over the hospital. But they themselves said, no, we're not ready. But instead, that Castañer community organization started getting, putting their heads together in doing things for Castañer. Going to the central government, trying to get better water for in Castañer, trying to get telephone service for Castañer, trying to get sidewalks for Castañer, and all of those services that were needed. But because we were isolated community, we were disregarded. And those were, it was not just, it was all kinds of ¿cómo que se llama? Of idealism there. There was independent group, there was whether you were independent, whether you were popular, whether you were estadista, it didn't matter. You were all there together working for one purpose. And you didn't brought up any issues.